What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. This is episode number 83. I'm Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We are coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be recapping UFC 255 and Bellator 253. We're going to take a look ahead to the next UFC Fight Night Las Vegas, and we're also going to take a deep dive into the upcoming Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. boxing exhibition fight next weekend. Before we dive into all that fun shit, let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Whew. All right, Paul. Today, in the packs, we have got some Skittles THC Diamonds.
Okay.
We have got a couple joints of a new herb this week, apple fritter. This is created by Lumpy's Flowers. Let me hit this real quick. I've actually never smoked this before, but I've heard of it. Lumpy's made this. It used to be a mystery as to what this strain was, but I think somebody figured it out. So there's a possibility that this is inaccurate, because I don't think Lumpy's Flowers ever confirmed these genetics, but it should be sour apple crossed with animal cookies. If you want to break that down a little bit further, sour apple is sour diesel, one of my faves, crossed with Cinderella 99, and animal cookies is Girl Scout cookies, which we smoke on the show all the time, and Fire OG, which we were just smoking last week. So that's a good potent mix of genetics. We've also got some Gorilla Glue left over.
Yeah, that's
over.
Our weed of the month.
Yeah, Gorilla Glue number four is our weed of the month.
We got our weed of the week, but then we also got our weed of the month.
Yeah, we're going to be puffing that down. And, you know, if you're watching on video, you'll notice all of the bongs are kept far away from me.
From you. Get right them now. Away from them.
Yeah, we're going to fire up this joint here. Whatever you're smoking on, fire it up. We'll get started here. But there's a reason that all of this water is away from me, because I have spilt the bong twice today, and I've kicked over my water bottle as well.
Yep.
Right in the middle of rolling some joints.
You'll know why the water bill's high this month.
Yeah. Right? I'm glad we weren't recording, because it looked like amateur hour on here. And the sad thing was, I wasn't even high. I think it was the consequence of trying to do such things while too sober, Paul. A lack of THC was leading to clumsiness when handling THC-related items.
That's about right.
That's what the hell I'm thinking. Oh, buddy.
Yes.
We got an interesting fight coming up this weekend.
We got a few.
You know. It's not even a fight, though. And I don't want to start the show with it, but I can't stop thinking about Mike Tyson.
Well, no, let's start the show with it.
You want to start the show with Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Dude, Mike Tyson is like
54 years old.
Yeah. Here, well, you want to fire this up? But Tyson was, you know, our regular listeners know I was a boxer, amateur boxer. I wanted to go pro, and then I made bad decisions when I was 18. And anyways, Tyson was like, when I was coming up, dude, Tyson was, him and Pernell Whitaker were the reasons I started boxing. And Tyson, I was like a fanatic, dude. Like, I read every biography there was on Mike Tyson. Anytime he was on Sports Illustrated, I went out and grabbed that shit. I broke out the VHS and taped all his fucking fights, watched that shit. Like, I know his whole life story. I've known it forever. You know what I mean? I knew it when I was a kid, and I followed his path. You've been in my place multiple times. I got Mike Tyson on the walls. I got pictures of me with Tyson on the walls.
Yeah.
I fucking love Mike Tyson. Like, when I moved out here to Vegas, one of my dreams was to meet Mike Tyson, which I did on just a fluke, you know, just literally ran into the guy, and he was super fucking cool to me. And now here we are. Yes, it's an exhibition fight. Yes,
it's not an exhibition,
quote unquote. It's 8 2-minute round. It's a pay-per-view. Roy Jones Jr.
No headgear, though.
No headgear or anything.
It's all you need, and it doesn't make it an exhibition.
And it's only an exhibition, quote unquote, because the California State Athletic Commission won't sanction it as a regular fight, and they won't even have regular judges there. But the WBC is providing their own judges for this fight, which will be done by remote.
I don't think we're going to need them.
I don't think so either, dude. Because you're right. Tyson is 54 years old. But have you seen his Instagram lately? He don't look like 54 to me.
Yeah.
And we've all seen the training videos. The motherfucker is still fast.
Although I agree with you, I'm just going to play a little devil's advocate here for you. So here's my only thing. I agree with you. Tyson carries like crazy power, and he's, you know, he's all. He's,
I felt it, dude. I shook his hand, and then his boy, who was taking a picture, he couldn't figure out my phone. So I just held Tyson's hand for like a minute. I still have some of that power.
I guess. No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is like, no real offense to him. Obviously, you know, this is just me, you know, pointing some obvious things out.
That's harsh.
First of all, Mike Tyson stopped boxing for a reason. All right? Let's just all be honest. Every boxer stopped boxing for a reason. It is when you either physically or mentally or both no longer have it. You know?
And he didn't have it mentally.
And I think a little bit of physically.
And physically. Well, physically is debatable, I think. But he definitely did have it mentally. I mean, he quit on the stool.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think from not to like be a dick about it, but like if Roy Jones carries this into the 7th or 8th round, I could see him winning because Mike just doesn't have it like the gas tank to go that long.
See, if this was like then or recently since that had happened, I would agree with you. But this isn't Mike Tyson who just quit boxing, who quit on the stool. This hasn't even been Mike Tyson who's been taking any damage. Or really, this is Mike Tyson who went out and tripped a lot of psychedelic drugs, found himself, found a new way to live his life, went out on Broadway shit. You know what I mean? Became really a whole different person. And now he's back with a hunger, as he's talked about on Joe Rogan's show. You know, he talked about it. Why he quit fighting was his ego,
yeah,
and the way it drives him. And now he's unleashed it again. But it's a Tyson that's been sitting on the couch, man. It's a Tyson
that's ultimately
that hasn't been taking any damage, unlike Roy Jones, who last fought up in 2018. And it's a Tyson who is hungry in a way I don't think Roy Jones is, because he's unleashed a competitor that's inside his soul that hasn't been out of the cage in like years. Like he wouldn't let him out. Because Tyson wouldn't even train. He wouldn't fucking watch boxing. He really was like, nah, I can't let the beast out.
Here's the thing is, like, don't get me wrong. I think Mike Tyson's winning the fight. I'm just trying to give an angle of where you could pick against him.
Right. And I feel bad picking against Roy. I like Roy Jones, dude.
Yeah, I like Roy Jones.
We have a connection with Roy Jones Jr. on the show, albeit, you know, second party. But, like, the magazine that we write for, we're about to
on the cover, yeah.
We're about to do some boxing commentary here for this new network we can't really talk about yet. But we work a lot in boxing shit. And the guy who puts on, you know, our the magazine is good friends with Roy. He's always sending me pictures of him and Roy Jones and new pictures of him and Roy. And, like, spoke to him on the phone briefly before. Like, he's a cool guy, and he's a great boxer, and he's definitely one of the all-time greats. But I can't possibly, even if I thought he would win, I can't pick against Mike Tyson in a comeback fight, just personally. It's completely biased.
I think Mike's going to win by knockout, but I see the way to victory for Roy Jones. And it's literally to just... Yeah, good. All right, it's literally just to tire him out at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's going to be to go out there.
He's pretty in shape, though. Nobody's only 2-minute rounds here. It's
but here's the thing. Is everybody's in shape until you go a full fight. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking, if Mike gets into situations where there's flurries, I'd like to see how he holds that muscle that he has now compared to how he used to. You know what I mean? Like he said, this is more of like, an endurance thing to me is like you were saying, how he hasn't been fighting for years and all that stuff like that. On the opposite side, Roy has been fighting for years. Roy has trained fighters all over the world and is constantly training.
Roy's been
constantly
active
boxing.
In the boxing scene for sure.
Yeah. So that does bring up the question of, is Roy going to be able to go in there, and is it going to be like any other weekend, you know, like sparring session compared to where Mike is going to be? This is, you know, this is a big fight, and I got to go in there and, you know, knock him out, and he tries, and he ends up punching himself out or some kind of situation like that. It could happen at their age. That could happen. Roy can avoid him long enough for Mike to punch himself out at this age.
It's Roy Jones Jr. Absolutely, he could. And you're right. This is a 54-year-old man fighting another 50-year-old man, just to be honest. But these aren't regular men to begin with.
Yeah.
And Tyson's not a regular retired athlete coming out. Like, believe me, if this was Mike Tyson trying to sit here and tell us, like, Jared, Paul, I'm going to go make a run in boxing now. I'm going to go fight, you know, Fury. Nah. No, dude. I've heard this talk online about how he said he wanted to fight Fury for fucking charity and Wilder for charity. Great, but you're going to get murdered. Fighting a 50-year-old, 49-year-old Roy Jones Jr. Yeah. 2-minute rounds. I'm excited. I know.
Oh, no, I'm definitely excited.
And I think Tyson's... He looked... I know it's hitting pads. I mean, even Ronda Rousey looked like a wizard on hitting pads. But this is Mike Tyson. We
Did
know
you see
what
that photo
do.
You posted over the weekend of him in the ring?
Yes. It gave me goosebumps, dude. I feel like I'm a kid again in a Mike Tyson pay-per-view.
I wonder what are there going to be weights?
I haven't heard shit about the weight. I assume it's at heavyweight. Roy's not.
Well, yeah, I know. Okay. That's what they said, lightweight. Or, sorry, heavyweight. But I just would be curious to see
but
the
like
weight.
An official weight class?
Yeah, just not even for like the standpoint of, oh, you need to make weight, but just for the standpoint of like how much do you weigh going in?
Well, I'll tell you what I know there's not.
Regulation.
There's not any PED testing.
There is
going on right now.
There is because it's being sanctioned by the WBC.
Are you sure?
100%. I listened to both fucking.
These men are peeing in cups and being
literally
tested.
Yeah. I listened to both them on Joe Rogan, Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. Both them said because the WBC is involved, there's testing.
Well, well, well.
Okay. And 2 rounds and all the shit.
I'm kind of bummed about that, honestly. I'd rather
the bigger
see
gloves and
I'd
all
rather
that
see
shit.
Tyson on some testosterone in the ring because he's 50 fucking four. Same with what's his name? Roy Jones. I'm just saying. I'm just baffled by that. I'm like shocked. Yeah. I really didn't know. I mean, I have no problem with them using performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
Especially, I would be shocked if both of those men do not have prescriptions for testosterone.
Probably.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, here's the thing: is like. Even if they did, like Roy was talking about, there was something he was taking for his knee that was like helping his knee tremendously that he had to stop taking because they told him it was gonna fail him, and they would have to put a fight. They'd have to axe the fight.
What do you think of the price point of this fight? It's $50, and let's be honest, nobody's paying $50 to watch some of the other fights. So we'll talk about one or two of in a second. But
yeah.
I mean, there's like 8 fights on the card, I think. I guess the co-main is sort of interesting.
It's interesting from a fan's point of view.
I mean, it depends on who you are. I mean, it's Logan Paul versus Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
And I mean,
like Nate Robinson, the basketball player.
Yeah. I like circus fights sometimes, you know, but I tend to just not give Logan Paul much credit because I don't follow him on social media. I'm not like a fan of his YouTube shit. But let's be honest here. I hear he has like 45 million subs all across social media platforms.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking popular.
Oh, yeah. He's popular. I don't doubt his popularity.
I know he won that fight against KSI or that boxing match.
No, that was his brother.
That was his brother?
Yeah.
That was Jake Paul?
No, that's Logan. This is Jake.
See, I don't even know.
Exactly.
I don't know shit about
exactly.
nothing. Why don't
this
you tell me?
This is his little brother.
And our listeners.
This is his little brother. And I mean, like, he's kind of shit. He's the one who wants to fight Dylan Danis, too. And he, like, wanted to fight, like, Soldier
in
Boy.
MMA?
Nah, in a boxing match.
Dylan Danis?
Yeah.
Well, Dylan Danis can't throw punches.
I mean, neither can this guy. He's not the greatest puncher ever. He's beat, like, 2 other YouTubers or some shit like that. And, like... Now he's going to fight Nate Robinson because I guess like Nate Robinson disrespected him at some event or something like that. Like didn't take a picture with him. You know, I don't know.
He's like gangster like that. He's like, nah, he can't be dissing me, Nate Robinson.
Fight. Yeah.
We're gloving up, son.
Yeah. And
how
so
tall is Nate Robinson?
Not very tall. He's about 5'10", maybe.
And
maybe 5'8". But here's the thing with Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson is a multi-sport athlete. He's not going to go – like, he's going to have, like, that athletic edge at the end of the day.
Sure.
Nate Robinson – a lot of people don't know this about Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson was all-American in basketball and everything like that. But Nate Robinson was also all-American in football. He literally was – could have chose to get drafted in the NBA or the NFL. He tried out for the Seahawks 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah, he tried out for the Seahawks and almost made it. He was on their practice squad for a minute.
No, that says something.
Like, he has athletic ability. He has, you know what I mean? Like,
and that type of athletic ability translates to MMA, and it'll probably translate to...
Well, here's the thing is, like...
Boxing.
Like, when you talk about, like, that fast twitch muscle, you know, well, not only that, like, that fast twitch, like, he was, you know, a point guard in basketball. You're talking about a lot of cuts and shit like that, so you got to think he's got good hips, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing in football, he's a corner, so, you know, he's making quick movements.
He's going to understand how to move around with the body.
Yeah, and he's probably got good footwork. So who knows? You know what I mean? We're talking about a guy fighting a guy who's not a professional boxer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different when we're talking about two guys who are, like, Jake Paul has, like, a fucking whole thing on his YouTube where he just, like, fights people who are other, like, influencers. Like, he invites them over to his house and he fights them. Like, that's literally, like, what.
Are they, like, friends after, or?
I guess.
No.
I don't know. I don't. Like, some of them. Yeah, they're, like, oh, good shit, bro. Or is it, like, Billy Beat Down,
where he's, like, oh, just kicking some assholes ass?
Well, I mean, like, he just, like, invites them over for, like, a training session. They can either choose to wear headgear or not. And then, like. After, it's like, what is what it is.
But he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not, like, a boxer.
I mean, he does. He has, like, he trains with, like, I get it.
But he's not, like a serious like, I don't think he's boxer, like, yeah, like Golden Gloves. And like,
no, no, nothing like that. Him and his brother are both wrestlers. Him and his brother are both wrestlers, like, literally.
All right, well, he seems to have a lot of fucking popularity from that.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do with the pay-per-view. They're hoping I mean, let's be honest. Mike Tyson's the A side here.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Roy Jones is highly respected. He's one of the best ever to grace our planet, but not too many people are clamming for a pay-per-view for him.
Well, yeah.
They're casuals, but everybody
I think
down
if
with
either
Tyson.
One of them would have came out of, like, retirement, there's other fights that they could have done that would have not been as big, but you know what I mean? Like, this was it's pretty solid main like card too. I mean, you got like
well, it's $50. I'd pay that just for this Tyson fight, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't care about the Paul thing.
There's also interesting. Vidal versus Rashad Coulter for UFC
Badu Jack's
fighter.
Fighting on there. Badu Jack's there's on a there. Decent. There's actual couple.
There's a couple. Yeah.
Matches.
They'll be good, like adequate fights. Like that one YouTuber fight. Like that shit might be a little wild, but all the other fights will be like legitimate, like good, like crisp boxing. You know,
if they even get a fraction of the people that are fans of Paul. To purchase this pay-per-view for the guy. They'll get this whole market of people that might not give a fuck about a 54-year-old Mike Tyson fighting again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, his brother also was able to, like, kind of, I don't know how he did this, but he was able to, like, track not only how he sold on the internet when he did that KSI fight, but also when people illegally downloaded it. They were able to track those numbers as well and, like, use that when he went to re-up for the second time they fought. That's so, smart. Like, these fools are, like, actually smart about,
no,
like,
I'm not knocking that. Yeah. It's smart. And I'm not knocking it if you're a fan of it. Just, I'm just admitting I don't know shit.
Yeah.
I'm not – that's not my scene.
Is there a niche for it in the sport? Is there not – that's kind of really the conversation there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, people are going to fight – anybody will pay to watch anybody fight at the end of the day. Like, fighting is such a, like – you know, it's such a thing where people are like, fuck,
dude, look at
you want to watch them fight? Yeah, let's watch them fight.
Look at the fight we were watching before we started the show from Twitter. I mean, it was a ridiculous inside a convenience store construction worker versus
free,
like
man.
An apparent homeless dude, which, yeah, I'll watch it again. That was hilarious. Dana White is not wrong when he says, since the beginning of time, when a fight has taken place, people will stop and watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, dude. I was driving on fucking North Vegas once.
Just gets you going.
And I mean, a couple of homeless dudes were going at it in the middle of the fucking median over like the turf. You know, they they're like, this is my fucking sign turf. And I watched the other dude come up while I was at the stoplight. I was like, oh.
Shit's about to go down.
I know what the rules are, you know. And then, yeah, they started brawling, dude. And I ain't going to lie. Like, I pulled over and inside. I was like, peeping it out, bro. I mean, it's
like,
a fight, dude.
Fight's a fight.
I have no
anybody,
shame. Anybody,
if you can gain enough fans that will watch you fight anybody that you say you want to fight, then hey, fuck it.
And honestly, I hope this pay-per-view is successful because
well, this
I think
shit
it
is
will,
cool. The actual main event is a legitimate, like, real fight that people have wanted when they were in their prime. That, you know, they're both in great shape, and they're both, yeah, they're both not in the middle of their pro career, but they're both not fucking 250-year-old dudes with the beer guts, you know? They're
not even close.
They're fucking still in
Tyson
the game.
Tyson looks scary. Tyson looks, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And Roy's no slouch either, dude. Roy looked great in those fucking training videos he released.
So I'm excited for it, man. The rest of the cars should be good. I think the UFC's priced too high. I think $50 for this fight is pretty good. I'm going to buy it and not really complain about it. Even if we go out and see a first-round KO, cool, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm down for either.
Now, let's move on from that and talk about some real... Not real. It's a real fight.
Real steel.
But, like, some mixed martial arts here. Let's shift out of boxing, because there's not much more on the boxing scene this week.
Yeah. Everybody, they carved out their little time here.
Yeah, there's some minor fights going on, but nothing to really talk about. So.
Is that fight here?
No, it's in California.
Oh, it's in California. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Next week, we'll dive into some boxing that's coming up. We got Errol Spence Jr. and Garcia coming and some other stuff. But that about rounds it out for this week. But yeah, stay tuned. We definitely have some exciting stuff that we'll be able to announce, hopefully, on the show soon, as far as us and the boxing scene.
Yep.
So, how about that UFC, a 255 pay-per-view that just went down this past weekend, Paul, where we saw both of the UFC's flyweight titles, the men's and the women's, defended in very dominant fashion, albeit two different kinds of dominant fashion.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the top, because there's a little bit that has unfolded in the last few days from just this fight at the top. So you have Davison Figueiredo taking on Alex Perez. And honestly, it was one of those fights where Alex was in it till he was out of it.
Yeah, I thought he was looking great until all of a sudden in the first round he caught a guillotine and it was over.
Yeah, because it was like he defended whatever he was doing with that. Like, he was trying to roll him through with that freaking, like, kind of Imanari roll, but it was, like, kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was.
And he was able to defend that, and it looked like, oh, okay, he's going to come out on top of this. And then he just got caught in a weird situation. It looked like the guillotine wasn't tight, and he went to pop his head out. And then Figueiredo just freaking cinched it hella tight as soon as he moved his head, and he had like a weird angle on it, and there was no way he was getting out of that.
And that's the best time of a fight to land a submission like that, because everybody's dry.
Yeah,
you're not slicked up.
It's quick. Yeah.
Both guys are dry and your skin's not slippery at all and fucking
good to
go.
It's
really hard to wiggle out of it when it's you're not both coated in sweat and possibly blood, and who knows.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Unfortunate for Alex Perez. Like I said, he was looking, I thought, quite well before that happened. But a very dominant performance.
So
Figueiredo's rebooked again 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, he's now been rebooked 3 weeks from now.
Against Brandon Moreno, who also fought on the card.
Yeah, who also fought in the prelims. And he had another quick win against Brandon Royval in a situation where Royval tried to roll again. And then he was getting ground and pounded, and it was just like you were looking at him, and he was like twitching all weird. Come to find out at the end of the fight, he was trying to put his shoulder back in place so he could fight back because his shoulder had popped out.
His right shoulder had dislocated, and he was twitching funny because he was literally holding
was
his arm
to,
and
yeah,
trying to
trying
jerk
to
it down
it,
and get
jerk
his
it down
own
and push it back
fucking
in.
Arm back in socket while getting pounded on the face.
It was just so that was a quick one out too. So both guys came out fresh, and so now 3 weeks from now. At UFC 256, they're the main event because Peter Yan has some kind of family issue where he's had to pull out of the fight.
Yeah, so that fight's off and this fight's on. And they're going to keep Figueiredo here in Las Vegas instead of leaving the country.
And then they also announced the co-main event of that fight during the pay-per-view as well. They have Tony Ferguson taking on Alex Oliveira.
Interesting matchup.
That's a freaking good fight, dude.
This will tell us a lot about Tony.
Yeah.
Because Tony should win this fight, but Tony's 36 now.
I feel like I said the name wrong. Is it Alex Oliveira? No, Charles Oliveira.
It's Charles Oliveira. Did you say Alex? True. Yeah, no, I was thinking it. No, it's
Charles.
Charles.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ooh, he's been messing around down at featherweight a little bit.
Dude, he looks so good against Kevin Lee.
Yeah.
Like, he beat the shit out of Kevin Lee. So, like, if he, now he comes out and he beats Tony Ferguson.
Well, this is a fight Oliveira's been waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
He's wanted top-notch competition, so here you go.
He's kind of had the career where, you know, like, he beats all the lower-lying competition. But then when he gets to, like, the big name, he's had his downfalls in his career. Yeah. And this is really where he's going to be able to turn the corner one way or another. You know what I mean? Tony Ferguson he's a big name, but Tony Ferguson's also, what, 36 years old?
Yeah. So we'll get into that fight more when we get closer to it. But that's an exciting announcement for that same card now that Figueiredo and Moreno are headlining.
Yeah.
And as for Perez, I don't think this knocks him out of contention or anything.
Well,
he's
going to
have to
get
an opportunity, more wins
up. And he took an opportunity. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
He was looking good, and I think he'll be back up there. As far as the second title fight, I don't get the talk afterwards on this fight.
Well,
but Valentina Shevchenko won a very dominating performance over Jennifer Maia. That some people seem to just be amazed because Shevchenko lost a round, and she hadn't lost a round since Joanna Jędrzejczyk in 2018.
Yeah,
and I guess that's something. But I mean, you're talking about, okay, so she won the fight 4-1 and was fucking dominant the whole way, and showed a ground game which she hasn't really showed. Was it a tough fight? Well, sure, I guess tougher.
Here's the thing.
But I don't get the criticism or whatever.
I don't think it's criticism. I think I don't think it's unwarranted. Is all I'm saying is because when you put out the aura of being a dominant champion and being one of the best pound for pound women's fighters in the world, and then you compare yourself to Amanda Nunes, you have to be perfect. I'm just saying, if she's going to keep herself in the conversation of being that dominant of a champion and working towards this Amanda rematch, and she keeps saying how she's the most dominant fighter in her, which she is, I'm not denying she isn't. Yeah. I'm just saying that she needs to carry that aura of
invincibility.
Thank you. Invincibility until they fight again. Or there's never going to be that fight again. You know what I mean? She's going to have to put so much work in continuing to beat these different fighters and put on these great performances because she's wanting this Amanda rematch. That's all she talks about every time she wins. You know what I mean? So, like, that's where I think the criticism's coming.
Do you think this fight was close or something?
No. Like, I'm just saying everybody loves Amanda Nunes and they're basically holding that standard up to her. To make it, like, you know what I'm saying? They're all used, because when you talk about dominant champions in women's divisions, those two are the two you always compare. And I feel like when she puts on a performance where she has any kind of pushback, the same thing with Amanda, because when Amanda had lost a round to, what was it, Jermaine Durandamé or someone like that?
Yeah.
I can't remember. They did the same thing. They were like, oh, is she starting?
Amanda's last fight she's had a recent fight that everybody thought she was going to murder the girl and it wound up being five fucking rounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like every time both of them fight, they get that comparison or they're like, oh, well, if she fights like that, there's no way she'll ever beat Amanda. That's kind of where I felt like everybody on Twitter was saying during the fight.
Well, I don't know if she's ever going to beat Nunes. I don't really like the comparison because it's kind of like there's a big size difference there. Like,
Not when she has fucking like six.
You think Nunes is ever
going to
make? That's because they didn't have a 125 thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like it wasn't available. That's like, you think Nunes is ever going to fight at 125?
Nah.
She could make 125 in maybe high school.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, is
Shevchenko isn't going to fight 145 unless she puts on some ridiculous muscles. So. I mean,
just hard when Shevchenko has beat like 90% of the 135 contenders to give her the benefit of the doubt. You know what
I mean? That's just how badass she is.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? But that's the only place she's ever going to fight her again. There's, like you said, there's no fucking way. There's no way Amanda's going to be like, yeah, I'll meet you at 130. Like, she's not even going to be able to go that far.
Amanda doesn't have to. Amanda's technically beat her twice.
Yeah.
I mean, there are close, highly contested fights. So, it's the only losses Shevchenko's ever had.
For sure.
But I thought she did great. I thought it was interesting to see both her and her sister utilize ground games. Her sister came out and just murdered Lipitsky.
Yeah. She looked good.
Or Lipsky.
Lipsky, yeah.
Man, she, did you hear afterwards? Her fucking face is fractured.
Who? Lipsky's?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. Antonio, Antonina put it on her.
She almost called her Antonio.
I know, right? Antonio! That's their brother. He fights, too. He's going to pop out. some crazy dancing ninja machine. No, I'm super impressed. She's still one of my very favorite fighters. I thought it was cool seeing her and her sister both pick up very dominant wins.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I guess if when Khabib loses a round, people like to talk about it.
Do the same thing,
I mean, I suppose if he hadn't retired, people would be talking more about the fact that Gaethje possibly won a round against him.
Yeah, yeah,
but
exactly.
That noise got drowned
That's the
out.
Same thing. I mean, like, every dominant champion, like, Demetrius, it was the same thing. Fucking Jones, it's the same thing. Like, when you get a round on, like, dominant champions, everyone's like, because they're so dominant, that scene is more of a goal than winning the fight sometimes.
I know people say the same shit about Conor because he did so well in the beginning against Floyd, etc. So, whatever, I get it. But all in all, I thought it was great performances. And we had some other exciting performances on that card as well. Including, how about Joaquin Buckley making the return from his crazy fucking KO against the Beverly Hills Ninja. And
sleeps him
with a really impressive knockout. Earns himself another fight of the night bonus.
Yep, gets another 50K in the bank. I wonder if he's going to CVS tomorrow.
Right, so that's 100K minus taxes. So
yep, and that's two in the last, 2 months?
Yeah, you think you're really going to show up to your job? I mean, you do you, man. But damn.
Maybe he's going
to
start his own CVS
franchise. Maybe you should start quitting your job and do some two-a-days.
Yeah, shit.
You know, instead of doing that shit.
He's looking good, though. And then he comes out right after the fight, calls out James Krause, which is a pretty big fight for both of them. The only thing holding it back, though, for a minute, is Krause did have that knee injury after his last fight.
Yeah, Krause is a little bit fucked up. And
I don't. If I'm Buckley, I don't know if I'm going to sit around and wait for him. You know what I mean?
Because that fight's not going nowhere. We talked about it like a 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after the first KO. Krause was throwing some shade at him.
Yep.
Basically. It was like, I don't like that dude.
Yeah.
I think that heat there is real. That's a real fight. By real, I just mean that there's animosity, like real animosity, not some Conor McGregor dramatics or anything. So that's cool. I like that fight too. Although,
Here's the thing too is
Joaquin, he looks like he's way bigger than James Krause, or is that just because of the way he's built? I'd have to see him, side by side.
James Krause fights 170 traditionally, but he's fought 85 before.
And 55,
but here's the thing. Here's the thing is Buckley doesn't even weigh 185. He came into the fight
and he
weighed 182.
And, half,
and then also they shared on the broadcast that they were at the weigh-ins. And he chugged a whole Pedialyte before the weigh-in so he could get close enough to wait so they won't, so the commission couldn't do anything. Because technically you have to be, within 5 pounds.
No, I find that very interesting because I would take that to mean that he did no weight cut whatsoever.
Yeah, he's just working out.
Yeah, that's just his weight. Yeah. That's where he's at.
Yep.
And he's fucking very in shape.
Well, that's
what
I'm saying.
He's a large dude. Ripped, dude. He's Tyrone Woodley fucking ripped.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So that's got to give him an advantage over somebody that is coming off a goddamn weight cut, dude.
Yeah.
You cannot recover from a severe weight cut in 24 hours. Usually the only thing that saves you is the fact your opponent's doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Right? But nobody's full performance in 24 hours when you're cutting, 15 pounds the day before. It's just human impossibility. So if he's trying to weigh extra and he's built like that, that could be a big advantage. Like, he might gas out the way somebody with that type of build typically gasses out so quickly.
Well, I think it also I think it also, if they end up getting that fight with James Krause, he probably would be willing to go down to 70 for that fight.
He probably can then, for sure. If
he's not cutting weight at all, come on.
Yeah, you could cut. That's very impressive. That's something I wish more fighters would do.
It's like Jerry Cannon, dude.
I really wish more fighters would would do that.
Stop cutting so much weight.
Yeah, I think it's a smart strategy if your body type allows it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sometimes that's there's the just biggest ridiculous thing. Size differences.
But. Yeah. That dude is, like, pretty light for his size if you look at him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So, also on that card, we had some unfortunate things happen as well.
What's that?
You know, Shogun Uwa is still fighting.
Shogun Uwa. The pride of pride.
Yeah, I don't know why he's still fighting. He needs to hang him up after that.
Dude, Paul Craig worked him, man.
He did.
Fucking worked him. Yeah. And no shade on Paul Craig. I think he's a legit fighter.
And I didn't know ahead of time that Paul Craig took that fight on like a week's notice.
The last first one? Time. I didn't either. I just thought he lost.
Yeah, no, it was that a draw. That explains a lot. It was a draw.
It was a draw, but.
Yeah. But that's the thing is like, yeah. So I think it was a situation where you literally gave him a chance to actually have a traditional weight cut and have a fucking camp, and he dogged him. So yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with other than him cutting too much weight at the time.
Dude, that weed makes me cough, dude.
Yeah, me too.
That's that apple fritter right there. That shit is harsh, boo.
Yep.
God damn. Whew. That's why we're coughing so much, folks. It's, we're smoking that mango or apple fritter joint. Like, I know they told me it was mango fritter, but there's no such thing. There's only apple fritter.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm good on that.
Yeah, man. I can't keep coughing on this. Sorry about that, folks. This is a harsh one right here. My goodness. Whew. So, dude, Shogun needs to retire, though. It's time to hang him up, man.
It's time to call it.
I don't... Fighting's so tough, dude. Like... And it's different. It'd be like, well, you want to see Mike Tyson. You guys are fucking just saying you're excited to see Mike Tyson's 54-year-old ass fight. Well, Mike Tyson's not in the UFC. He's not going to fight. I don't want to see him fight Tyson Fury.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no desire to see him fight Anthony Joshua.
Yeah,
he's fighting another fucking 50-year-old man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Shogun Uwa can go fight. That's why Tyson's fight Anderson shit. Or something. He's talking about that Legends League they want to start.
That's why it was
go
okay.
Do that, dude.
Yeah, that's go why
fight
it was
okay. Vanderlei in the fucking Legends League. Bro.
Yeah, that's why it was okay when he fought Lil Nogs. It was like, all right, you guys are the same age. Whatever.
Right, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but like this fight, Paul Craig just picked him apart. It was hard to watch.
It's like
sometimes.
Anderson Silva, man. We can't. Yeah, I think, just a couple weeks ago, dude. It's time. It's not that you can't fight anymore. You can't fight the best guys in the fucking world anymore, and there's no shame in that. Just go. UFC should be kind and let them out of their contracts. So
well,
they
supposedly
can go fight
they did.
And these other things. But then Dana came out and said he didn't.
Yeah, true.
Like you can't make him come back and fight in the UFC. Dude, let him go to Tyson's Legends League. Let him go do some PFL nonsense or some shit.
Yeah, go let him collect a bag real quick.
Yeah, dude. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's what it is. By holding these guys, the UFC, over their head, it's Dana that is fucking it up.
Well, it's because they have all the leverage, if you really think about it. When you're 40 years old and your skills have diminished... What leverage do you really come to the table with? You know what I mean? Well, they can just be like, all right, Anderson, we'll offer you, you know, a quarter of the money that you made before for 6 fights. And what that turns into is not only are you don't plan on fighting 6 more times, so that means that the UFC has contractually locked you down if you ever want to come back ever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's what they do to a lot of these, like, these guys who are older, like, remember BJ got like a fucking 5-fight deal before he got released on that bullshit.
Yep.
Like, it was like, what? Like, what is going on? So,
I don't think any fighter, I mean, the UFC probably balks at this, is why it doesn't, but why would you do more than a 3-fight deal? Maximum 3 fights. Like, that should be the limit.
Unless
like,
they have crazy leverage fights, on you, I don't see any reason why, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a solid year to year and a half, depending on the UFC and the pandemic and everything. Yeah. These guys doing these 8-fight deals.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. I mean, just my opinion. I don't know. You don't. We don't know what the UFC's like behind
closed
doors.
But here's the thing, though. The UFC does renegotiate deals with guys who make, like, crazy jumps in popularity.
They do.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these guys, they sign those big deals, but then they're like, all right. now I'm worth way more than what this eight fucking, like, you know, Conor McGregor probably came into the UFC with probably like a 6-fight deal, and then he fought four fights and he was like, nah, bro, this shit ain't going to work no more. You know what I mean? So the UFC, same thing with Masvidal, same thing with, you know, tons and tons of different guys throughout the years. So at the end of the day, the UFC, the only, like, structured deals like that that those really matter for, like, your older fighters or your journeyman guys or, you know, the gatekeepers of the division kind of guys that, you know, they want to lock down because they know that their quality, like, to use this weekend as an example, I feel like this is what, unfortunately, what Mike Perry has turned into.
That's the someone fight I want to talk about next.
Yeah. Someone who's very interesting, who's not old but isn't young, who can hang around, and he's you know, he's an interesting fighter like Mike Perry. Mike Perry is an interesting guy. You know, he's...
Well, Mike Perry just lost a fight on 255 to Tim Means.
Yeah.
And Mike Perry is an interesting guy. And lucky for him, Dana came out afterward and said that he's not going to cut him.
Yeah.
He said never going to cut him because he likes how Mike Perry fights. And I get that. And Dana's trying to send a message to the rest of the roster as well, yeah, that if you fight a certain way, you will have job security. But not everybody's Mike Perry. But I want to talk about that fight specifically, Paul, because when that shit came out, that first round, I was, like, excited, dude. A, because it's a good fight, but B, because Perry came out and was quite a different fighter in that first round. And then, and we'll talk about that more in a second, in the second and third rounds, I was massively disappointed.
Yeah.
And now I don't understand what's going on.
Well, here's the deal. Is I think what has kind of plagued Mike Perry is early on in his career, he got really, really, like, he had a lot of big knockouts and, you know, big KO highlight reel, like,
superior, yeah, boxing.
But here's the
when
thing.
When he's using it.
Is every time he's lost and every time he's been derailed in his career, it has come in the grappling department. It's come in getting pushed onto the cage or size. Those are the two things. Is like grappling and size have been the two things that have plagued his career.
Well, that's why I was so excited this round against Tim Means. Tim Means is way bigger height-wise than Mike, yeah, Perry. He's like 6'2". You know, Perry's 5'10".
Yeah.
Perry's buff. Mean is tall and lean.
Yeah.
All right. But in that first round, Perry comes out, bullies Means up against the cage, gets him in a body lock, gets the high leg up, slams him right down, picks him back up, slams him again, yeah, takes his back, works for a rear naked choke slash neck crank.
Yeah.
He can't get it on the one side, so he switches sides while, yeah, on his back. This is much higher level grappling skills.
Than he's ever done.
Sides
we've ever
to
never
sink
seen
it in
this,
better,
yeah,
right? And dude, he misses it by a hair,
yeah,
just a fucking hair. All right, then they wind
well,
up
Tim
getting
was
back
fighting
up,
it.
And Tim was fighting it. I mean, yeah, it's not just, yeah. I'm not trying to imply that Tim wasn't doing anything.
Yeah,
he misses it by a hair because Tim's defending.
Yeah.
All right, but then they wind up back on their feet, and the rest of the round is pretty good. You know, I want to talk about Tim Means in a second, too, because he illustrated something I talk about a lot. But this is about Perry. The rest of the fight, Perry, his boxing was shit.
Yeah.
He abandoned the grappling. Completely. He walked straight forward, ate jab after jab, and tried to throw big right hands over the top against a taller man. Who
he did land some, though. Yeah.
He was landing the more powerful shots. The problem was Tim Means was
landing
doing what
shots.
I call for MMA fighters all the time on the show to do, which is use your fucking jab.
Yeah, he used
that
it.
Dude was peppering motherfuckers with the jab like a pro boxer out there.
Yeah.
Like, and Perry couldn't get in.
Nope.
And when he could get in, he was eating like 4 shots to 1. Mm-hmm. And he was unable to knock Means out. So in the end, them 4 shots to 1 really effing counted, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, one thing that Tim Means has always done over his career is he's good at, like, managing his power with his shots. He's not going to throw the crazy big, like, punches, but he's going to throw the shots that land that, like, you don't see coming.
And he
you
gets
know
those
what I mean?
Nasty elbows, and those jabs open up a lot.
Yeah,
they open
opens
up
everything
for
up.
His game.
Yeah,
because
then you have to worry about it the whole fight.
Yes.
And then you're not worried about other shit.
And he understands that, and clearly his team understands that, because Tim Means, and I forget what team he trains out of, because they get
he's
so,
in Albuquerque, but he's
they get
not,
so overshadowed
not, yeah.
in Albuquerque, because
yeah.
he trains at the other gym in Albuquerque,
yeah, exactly. yeah.
not
exactly.
Jackson Wink.
Exactly.
And I don't mean any disrespect to them. It just slips my mind right now because
yeah,
they completely
either.
Get overshadowed.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people think he's with Jackson Wink just because it says he trains out of Albuquerque. That's
yeah,
how synonymous right. that name is. But he was landing them nasty elbows on Perry. that jab opened everything up.
Yep.
And I talk about that so much. Like, imagine Stefan Struve, if he would throw a jab like that in a fucking fight, dude.
It's for real.
It would change. It opened everything up for him, though. Dude, everything.
Well, and here's another thing that Perry abandoned after the first round also, is in the first round, he was when they got back to their feet after he failed on the choke, he was throwing a lot of body shots, and he was hurting Means with the body shots.
Yes, he was.
Like, he was throwing, like, these weird shots where he was, like, faking like he was going for the overhand, so Means would you know, he'd rock back, mm-hmm. and then he'd come in and he'd hit him right in the, like, right in the liver, dude, and it was, like, every time, it worked, every single time. And then after the first round, I don't know what the fuck happened. He literally, like, shut off after the first round. He looked so good, and I don't know how
dude,
any
I was
judge
texting
shows.
I was like, oh, my God, Mike Perry's evolving as a fighter.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
like, holy fucking shit.
But you know what I think has happened here? With the whole drama with gyms and coaches and all the shit that he's been going through, and he's, you know, all the outside
who's
bullshit
in his
as
corner?
Well.
Ultimately.
It was one of his coaches, but I don't know who the guy was.
I mean, they didn't go cut to his corner. I don't think anybody told him anything. They didn't say shit to him. As near as I saw, he was just fucking sitting there
staring
at Tim
Means. It was his girl
and
his coach, yeah. And,
I don't think he got corner advice in the fight, did he?
Yeah, he did from the coach, but it
was.
Do
you think he's
like,
receptive to it after all this shit he talks about corners? He was
that's what I'm saying.
Off a spot. I mean,
that's the problem is I think that Mike Perry has gotten to this situation where he was so focused on the grappling because he knows that's where he's like had bad situations that now he's overcompensated and he's focused way too much on the grappling and jiu-jitsu that he's lost all crispness and all like, you know.
His boxing looked like
his
he did.
His boxing
regressed.
Is just lost at all.
Yeah.
It's fallen off a cliff.
I was so bummed, man. I was excited, man. The first 5 minutes, I was like, this is the Mike Perry. This motherfucker is coming up.
Yeah.
He's a genius for not having a corner. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the fight, I'm like, is this guy ever going to fucking change?
Yeah, I mean,
Are you going to regress? Have you peaked? Was that it, dude? Have you hit the
well,
fucking
peak? Well, here's the thing. Bro? I just think he needs
so
to get to
talent,
an established
man.
Gym, man.
And swallow that ego down a bit, bro.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This corner bullshit, that's his ego, man.
Yeah.
This is, to me, is symptomatic of an ego problem here.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know.
I mean, I get your ego's fucking important, man, but you still need
he's
to have
also
a,
gotten to like
somebody
some,
to check you.
He's also been in some weird situations with gyms, though. Like, that whole thing with Jackson's, I probably would have left Jackson's after that, too. Because, like, they made that whole cowboy fight about them.
Yeah,
not
that's
really
right.
About
it was
him.
When he fought Cowboy.
Yeah, like, he was on a good track over there. Like, he was looking good, all that shit. But, like, I just feel like they made that so much about, you know, the gym choosing him over Cowboy and all that shit and how Cowboy was leaving the gym and all that. And I just felt like that was such a volatile situation to be, you know, thrown into as a – he literally was only there for, like, 2 months. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So – and the whole thing was over money at the end of the day. That's another thing. He's like, he's always been kind of pissed off about how much people get of his money and stuff like that. So
right, which is, he talks about that with the corner. I mean, part of it is money, but I think, I don't know, it's pretty egotistical to be like, I don't
it is, but I'm just saying he's also been in some unfortunate situations when he's joined big gyms like that.
For sure. Fucking MMA is tough because it's not, and we don't
it's
an
ever evolving sport.
It's ever evolving, and when you go to a gym, you don't get like when you have a fight coming up, is you're not just about you. Like you're not in there at the gym by yourself, like you are with a boxing camp.
Yeah,
like most boxing camps, when you've got a fight coming, whether you're a big name or a fucking on the local circuit, man, the camp's about you.
Yeah,
like when Mike Perry goes to Jackson Wink and has a fight, the camp's not about him, dude. It's like that with all MMA. It's a team thing. Like, only the really high level fighters like Conor can afford to put on their own camp. You know,
well,
what I
and
mean?
I think that's more or less been adopted from, you know, it being mixed martial arts. Every other martial arts sport you think of, like, you know, taekwondo, boxing, wrestling, you know, judo, jiu-jitsu. At the end of the day, you've got guys in your gym that you see as your teammates, but when you step out there, there's nobody there to save you. So at the end of the day, it's an individual sport, but the people that are around you are ultimately your team at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Well, he needs to do something to find somebody.
I feel like that's what he's missing, too, is like he's missing, like,
I mean, Dana just came out and gave him job security. Yeah. So, dude, go find a fucking camp. He's got all kinds of talent.
Yeah, he's got talent. Yeah, it's not journeyman. It's not over. Like, it's just like he just needs to sharpen up a little bit.
If you could just tie some shit together, I think he could go on a run. I don't know if he could be a fucking champ, but I mean, you could.
And I don't know how serious he took this fight, man. He came in overweight, posting pictures of him eating cheeseburgers, eating pizza 3 days before the fight.
Way overweight too, like 175 pounds. Yeah, yeah, eating cheeseburgers and putting it on Instagram.
He said Tim Means said that he was sending him to him. Like taunting him like that. Like, come on, bro. Come on. Like, you got the job security, but at the end of the day, you're getting 30% off the top because you just didn't make weight.
And he's probably on a, you know, a bonus system, you know.
That fight was good, too. That could have been, like, that could have been fight of the night. Like, for real. He could have been fight of the night and lost out on 50K if you really look at it.
Yeah, I mean, he still hung in there. He was landing big punches when they landed. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a good enough fight to where that, like, there was really no other fights on the card. I don't think they gave out a fight of the night.
I don't even know, but I know Figueiredo was pissed off he didn't get something, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, they gave it to Buckley instead of him. Yeah. It was the performance of the night.
Buckley was one of the highlights. I wasn't mad at that. Figueiredo's getting that champ to pay. So
yeah.
Give it to the fucking Walmart worker, bro. Yeah.
CVS, bro. CVS.
CVS, is that what it is?
CVS.
Walgreens. Jesus. One of them things. Come on. One of them things.
He fucks with it, though. He said he likes it. That's his shit, bro. All right?
Hey.
He's fucking with retail. So let's shift over to some Bellator real quick, yeah?
Dude, there was some big action in Bellator in that featherweight tournament last weekend.
Yeah.
Man, so, another semifinals. We saw, Emmanuel Sanchez versus AJ McKee.
No, it was, come on. It's Darren Caldwell versus
AJ. Darren Caldwell.
Fucking up. Emmanuel Sanchez won last weekend.
That's right. It was Sanchez versus
Daniel White.
Yep.
Yeah. So that he's going to fight Pitbull, but on the other side, this is already the semifinal, which is weird. Sanchez and Pitbull probably aren't going to fight for a while. And now you got Darren Caldwell versus AJ McKee, which is like ultimately supposed to be seen as, you know, Caldwell has the extensive wrestling background. McKee is also a high level wrestler,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't necessarily have the same, you know, the same, I guess, pedigree. Accolades. Yeah. Pedigree. And so it comes out early and Caldwell goes for the takedown. And it looks like he secured it, and then...
Yeah, he's on top.
Yeah, he's on top. Bottom. And then he's, you know, he's controlling him. Yeah.
He's letting a little ground and pound.
And then McKee goes for, like, a fucking guillotine, you think, at first.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a guillotine attempt from the bottom.
But
then he...
But then he fucking figure fours the body, and then pulls his head under, and then goes almost like it was like a full Nelson, like... Kind of, I don't know what the fuck.
Very unusual submission.
It was intense. But it was a neck crank, I guess. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was intense, but he fucking subbed him real quick, which short nobody work. Saw coming. It was, a minute into the fight?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
Caldwell's kind of sent back to the shed.
Now AJ's, 18-0?
17-0.
17-0.
17-0 in Bellator.
All in Bellator.
Yeah. 25 years old, I believe.
And... That's a statement right there.
That's
Caldwell
a statement.
Is legit.
He's also got a ticket to the title, whether it be versus Emmanuel Sanchez or Pitbull. I think it's probably going to be Pitbull. That's good. That could be a big passing the torch fight. And McKee said after the fight as well that he wants his 55 belt after this too.
Oh.
Yeah. That'd be all the smoke.
Really?
That would be sick. Imagine they fight for the 45 belt, and he's like, all right, I'm moving to 55. Let's rematch.
Man.
For your belt, motherfucker. I can see it happening, man. This guy's got everything going for him. Like, here's the thing. Him and Aaron Pico were real close, and a lot of people thought Aaron Pico was going to be the one doing what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he was always kind of the dark horse, and now he's coming – come to fruition, you know what I mean? Like, he's a Bellator product. Like, this is how you promote a guy right here. Like, this is probably
he's
the
homegrown.
Best representation of how to promote a guy in MMA so far I've seen in a while.
Especially if he comes out with the title and winds up getting that title.
Well, and here's the thing is the UFC also is not necessarily a company anymore that like has homegrown talent anymore. No. Like they're past that. You have to be elite of the elite to be in the UFC.
Dude, I think the last homegrown talent we saw was like Brendan Schaub. These guys that came on tough and had their very first fights on tough,
yeah,
and then got onto the Kimbo UFC Slice. off of tough. Yeah, well, you know Kimbo Slice was around.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Like, I think Schaub's a good example. Yeah. He didn't have any MMA fights. He had no fucking
Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, like, Forrest.
Like, although they have like fights, but they're not really like freaking Nate Diaz, bro. At the end of the day,
yeah, Nate. Yeah. So, but Bellator can still do that.
Yeah,
they're in the process of doing that with Aaron Pico,
mm-hmm.
and AJ's been a lot more. You know, he's been around.
Leapfrogged him, yeah.
Leapfrogged him for sure. Many more fights.
Yeah,
and of course
he's been dominant. That's the thing. Is he
very dominant?
He's got a highlight reel of submissions and knockouts. He's a guy who can do it all. That's what's scary about him. Is like a lot of these guys. You know, they're specialists, and he's not. He's just all around good. Like he's got power in his hands. He's got crazy submissions. He's fast. He's explosive. Like, he's got everything going for him at this point.
There was another fight on that card with a big name. We had Jason Jackson taking on Benson Henderson.
Benson Henderson, and former UFC fucking champ. Worked Benson.
Yeah, he did. Benson's...
Took him to the woodshed.
Yeah. This was at 170.
Yep.
Scott Coker's calling for Benson to go back down to 155.
Yeah, I don't understand why he keeps flirting with 170. I don't think...
Dude, he doesn't have the body type for 170. Yeah.
Well, especially in his older age, too. I think he just doesn't want to cut weight. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, are these fights worth it at 170? No. Like, come on.
No.
Like, because all of these... Like, he's never out of any of these fights. That's the thing. It's like,
that was a hard fight.
Benson doesn't really get finished. Like, that Michael Chandler fight where he got finished was, like, the first time in, like, 6 years or something like that he had been finished. So
that's Michael Chandler. I mean.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, like, when you watch these Benson Henderson fights, he's so tough, you know he's not going to get finished. But, like, these guys are just naturally bigger and stronger than him and are just ragdolling him on the ground because, like, and he's not out of it at any time. He's always fighting off on the ground. He's never getting subbed. He's never, like, he's just loses, like, ultimately one-sided decisions against everybody at 170.
Yeah, like, his 170 title fight?
Like, no. Yeah, burned. That was terrible. When he fought Korshkov?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was so bad.
He was so much smaller, it was so too. Bad. He just got murked.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
That was terrible. So, like, I just don't think he has any business being there. I understand the weight cut thing. It is what it is. If you don't want to fight at 155, you don't want to be competitive anymore at that point. Because, like, at 170, yeah, you're competitive, but you're never in charge of those fights. You know what I mean? There's never big swings of momentum in his way.
If it's that, he doesn't want to make the cut. Dude, lose 5 fucking pounds of muscle mass. It's not the end of the fucking world.
Yeah.
Then your weight cut's... much fucking easier, dude.
Yeah. There's pros.
I mean, if it's one or the
that.
Other, I mean, it's better to lose a little muscle mass and stay at 55 if it hits the cut than to keep getting, manhandled by these bigger, younger dudes.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is, like, he's fighting a lot of these guys who are, like, much younger than him, too. It's like, if you're going to do that, you got to do it at 55. That's where you're going to be at optimal levels.
Yeah, I agree
at
completely.
At 170, it's just, you're just outmatched physically. It is what it is, you know.
That probably rounds out Bellator for this week. Yep. Upcoming, we do have a UFC event. Yet another in the UFC Fight Night Las Vegas events from the Apex Center.
Yeah, who even knows what number it is?
I've lost count. It's like 15 or 16. It's one of those two.
But we got my boy Derek Lewis coming back.
Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes. This is an important heavyweight match.
Oh, yeah.
Very important match. I'm not going to lie. There's like one fight on the rest of the card that we're probably going to talk about, and that's it. But this main event here is solid. I like both these guys.
Absolutely.
These are a couple of big men, dude.
The question becomes, what is Derek Lewis's weight when he comes in? Because he talked about before his last fight that he wasn't going to fight again until he could lose a certain amount of weight.
Yeah, he's taking things a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
I think he's always taken them seriously, but he's put off the persona of being a joker in the gym.
Yeah.
But I think he's especially dialed in now, and he's even bringing.
Well, I think he realizes before he was more or less just a slugger. Now he's a contender in this division.
You talk about some raw talent.
Yeah.
I mean, dude. Yeah, that guy could be champ if he.
Well, let's just look back. What, 4 or 5 years ago, he's retired. He said he retired. Yeah. He was walking away.
Yeah.
And then now he's had this resurgence, and it's remarkable, honestly.
It's an important fight here. There's a couple of big guys. I don't know who I want to win as a fan. I mean, I'm a big Derek Lewis fan, but I mean, we've met Curtis Blades. He's a super cool dude.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I remember he picked your girl up.
Yeah,
like, did the bench press.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking Derek Lewis.
I got to go with Lewis.
Yeah, but I like Derek Lewis. But it's ultimately just going to come down to whether or not he can stop the takedown from Blades. That's what I
was going to say. It's a takedown game.
Yeah.
Here.
And what he can do on bottom. If he's able to. Here's the thing. We've seen with Blades is he's definitely like. He's relentless with his takedowns. Yo, we know that.
He's a machine. But
the thing is, at the end of the day, everybody gets tired when they grapple. And if Lewis can keep popping up and keep popping up, yeah, it's going to cost him energy wise, but it also costs the person who's trying to hold you down. You know what I mean? Yeah. So. I like to favor the puncher in a situation where this turns into two big-ass tired dudes.
And Blades has been caught by punchers before in the classic puncher versus wrestler matchup.
Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
So
second one much worse than the first.
You know, there's a path to victory there for certain. And I like Derek.
Well, Derek Lewis has shown some much, much better grappling in these last few fights.
He's been working hard in the gym despite all his antics.
Since the DC fight, honestly.
Yeah. He decided to learn some shit.
Funny story, actually. DC said on the broadcast last weekend he said that he picked up Derek Lewis's leg and Derek Lewis hammer fisted him in the face one time. That was the only time he hit him in the entire fight. And he had a black eye for 3 weeks. That's how hard fucking Derek Lewis hits. So
I believe it. Derek Lewis.
Derek Lewis fucking.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah. He said he hammered him in prison, face. It'd just
be a scary fucking cat, bro.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, fuck that.
The dude was running the yard.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. But that's about it for fights on that card itself. We had some fight announcements. And
over the weekend,
a much rumored bout that we knew was coming, but we finally got confirmation that Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier 2 is going to be happening.
Yep.
Contracts have been signed. It's a done deal.
January. And
Dana White is talking about bringing a crowd out.
It's in Abu Dhabi.
To Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Yes. I am for the crowd aspect. I don't care if it's. Dude, bring in 500 people.
Bro. You think it's going to be in the afternoon?
No way. They're not going to do a Conor McGregor. Dude, after Khabib only pulled 675,000 pay-per-views worldwide? Nah.
I don't know, dude.
Nah. Ain't going to happen. I think he's still hoping that maybe they'll do it in Texas. They haven't confirmed it's Abu Dhabi. They just confirmed the date of January 23rd.
Yeah. But all the rumors have been that it's in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's the UFC. The UFC prints money when they go out there. You know and I know because what they do is they cut a little side deal where, you know, they put all the advertisement inside of the pay-per-views are for Abu Dhabi. And
yeah, there's a reason.
Come visit Abu Dhabi and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they cut them a check for that. So literally...
Yeah, you know. And they give them free, the hotel, all that shit is for free. That's why when you watch these Abu Dhabi shows, the fucking commentators and everybody won't shut the fuck up about the fun shit they did. This weekend, I went water skiing at Jack's Ski Shop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. For real, though. And they actually do go. Like, they pay for them to go to those things so they'll tell stories about that shit.
Yeah,
like, all those guys be like a bunch of them have, like, driven race cars and shit. Like, they had Michael Bisping out there driving a race car. Motherfucker's got one eye, dude. Come on. That's a, like, come on.
Dangerous.
It's dangerous as fuck. But Yeah, the ad revenue is there.
It's good for the UFC because they're getting all those expenses footed that way.
The planes, it's helping cut down on
their loss of revenue from the crowd. Exactly. And if he does bring in a crowd for this Conor fight, those it's are going to be very high exclusive tickets.
Yeah, it's going to be high profile people, they probably influencers, won't release
the ticket price,
like celebrities. No, it's not going to be general public.
I mean, there'll be like, I promise you, there'll be people paying $1 million to go watch that fight.
Oh, dude, and it's going to be a lot of the people from a lot of like, you know, the Sheik and a lot of the stuff like that. You know what I mean? From dude, over that's there.
The equivalent.
Don't
of like,
fucking do this
dude,
again.
I almost spilt the bong again.
Don't do it again, dude.
That's crazy. Today is not my day. It's like I'm
put
a
the bong down and step away.
Like I'm rooking it up over here. Man, that was close. But yeah, those are going to be expensive tickets. That's a good fight. And we'll dive into that, of course, as it gets closer. But it's exciting to see Connor's that officially confirmed. And in relation to that, like I've been reading a bit of the coverage of Conor McGregor versus Manny Pacquiao rumors from outside the MMA bubble. So I've been trying to read the boxing perspective. And prior to this announcement, the boxing perspective has been, this is a thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like Manny wants this. So it's not just the MMA world. It's like, it's going to happen. No, like from the boxing side, they're like, no, Manny.
Well, it's because
really
they're both represented by the same people. So why would, if both sides were on the same track, why would they say they're not? You
know? And that's what I was leading into, is after this fight was announced, the immediate reaction in the boxing community seemed to be, well, I guess the Pacquiao fight is off. And then Adi Attar, Conor's manager, and not coincidentally, Manny Pacquiao's manager, came out and said, no, quite to the contrary, this fight is going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Dustin Poirier, and then watch, this summer, we're getting Pacquiao McGregor.
I don't even think it's going to be this summer. I think if Conor is able to get out of...
Might even be quicker, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to come down to what happens in that Poirier fight. It's going to depend on when he fights again.
Yeah, if he were to lose...
I don't know if that Pacquiao fight happens.
I don't know either, because a lot of the shine is taken off the fight because he's favored or not favored to win that fight. The Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
Anyways, if he goes out and makes short work again of Dustin Poirier... Oh... Because Conor himself has said he wanted to get the Poirier fight in because he wanted to fight a southpaw before he fights Manny. And I think that's
the
real thing.
Well, here's the thing is, Conor gave Dustin the fucking work the first time.
Yeah, he made short work.
Like, it was...
At 145.
It was nuts.
Yeah, it was a first round
obviously,
TKO.
Both guys have progressed since then, but holy shit. The first time, it was light work. So, Dustin's got something to prove here.
He does. He definitely does. And Dustin is... had more fighting experience, but Conor's definitely, in the sense of their fight, these are more UFC fights.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But Conor's
way
had
more.
The way bigger profile fights against, you know. And I don't know, that'll be a great fight. I'm excited. I expect Conor to get the win here. But we'll dive into that as he gets closer. But that's announced and confirmed. And we've had another really exciting fight, which was...
your boy Chaos Williams is fighting...
Off that 30-second KO a couple weeks ago.
30-second KO. For fighting Michelle Paeta, who's the best.
That dude is a wild
man. This is
going
to be great.
That's not even a main event, which I'm shocked by.
It's in the prelims, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God.
He's going to knock him out like mid-backflip or something.
That is going to be an exciting fight. Chaos Williams, Michelle Paeta.
Yeah, it's going to be
sick.
Oh,
my God, bro. That's a fight announcement I can get behind, dude. Absolutely. There's something here as we're getting towards the end of the show that we didn't discuss before the show, but I want to get your reaction to it because I think it's weird to me. So Israel Adesanya's coach, who as a coach I think is a top tier, Eugene Robinson, like the dude is definitely working something right over there at City Kickboxing.
Behrman, but
Yeah, Eugene Behrman, is that what he said? I said Robinson. That's funny, dude. I get high. I am like Joey Diaz with the names, dude. Khalifa Bob. Oh, it's terrible. I get high and I mix everybody's name up. But his coach.
Yeah.
All right, he comes out with this statement. It was this morning as of this recording where he says that Israel Adesanya has John Jones dancing to his tune and doing exactly what he wants him to do. And I mean, look, I'm not throwing shade at Adesanya, but I think that is one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard. Because if you flash back to 3 months ago, 6 months ago, when John Jones was asking for that smoke when he was the champ. And Adesanya was like, no, I need more experience. I need a couple years before I fight you, before I go to, I got work here at 185, all these excuses, right? Then John Jones suddenly vacates, and then boom, Adesanya's taking the next goddamn fight at 205, and he's like, John Jones is running from me. And then he talks this crazy shit about how he doesn't need to gain any weight to go to heavyweight, and John Jones is nuts for doing that, because... And then Robinson comes out and says that John Jones is playing to his tune. Why do I want to keep calling him that? Dude, I smoked a lot of weed this show, but you get my fucking point here.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Follow my point. I like these guys, but to me it seems they keep coming out and just sticking their foot in their mouth with these silly fucking... John Jones is not chasing Israel Adesanya. John Jones doesn't need Israel Adesanya. John Jones is pretty open in his declaration that I'm going to go to heavyweight. I'm going to beat Stipe Miocic, who is the baddest man on the planet. I want all that smoke is literally what he said like 4 days ago on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm going to heavyweight. I'm fighting the champ. I want that smoke. Yeah. Adesanya is the one who won't shut up about John Jones. So I don't understand why
he's playing right into our hands. Both of them are...
Like, what are you guys doing? Why don't you just clean out your fucking division? Why are you going to fight Jan Blachowicz anyway?
His division is cleaned out, though. Who else has...
Two title defenses?
I know, but everyone at middleweight's lost, though. That's the problem. Is middleweight is run into a situation where everybody who was supposed to, like, you know, hold up their end of the bargain and become the contender has now lost. Like, literally. Look at across the board. Hermanson was supposed to beat Cannonier to get the title shot, lost. Cannonier is supposed to beat Whitaker to get the title shot, lost. Yoel is supposed to beat freaking Izzy.
Well, what the fuck was that?
Paulo Costa was supposed to be the ultimate contender. Izzy made short work of him. Like, everyone at middleweight who's at that top, Robert Whitaker is a contender still, but, like, do we want to see that back already? That was two fights ago. Like,
I don't, personally.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I do think 185 is more or less cleared out as of right now. Like, Darren Till's coming off. Darren Till was supposed to win. He loses to Whitaker. Like, he's not necessarily a contender right now. Like, you know what I mean?
I like
Adesanya. No one's really on a crazy win streak.
I think his PR game is with John Jones. The rest, I mean, he's a master troll online. But I don't get the John Jones shit. I don't know why he keeps talking. Like, yeah. John Jones used to just go to heavyweight. He ain't even at 205 no more. If he's overlooking Jan.
Yeah, for sure. But John Jones also gets on his shit-talking sprees on a Sunday morning when he'll just turn his phone on and fucking go after Daniel Cormier, who's still retired, and he goes
people throw shade at him first. Like, Cormier's out there going, like, John Jones is not the...
Well, no, I know, but, like, sometimes John Jones goes on a spree of just, like, everybody I hate, get ready for it. I'm gonna fucking go
after there's no doubt there.
Like, social media is so dumb in the MMA space. Everyone on MMA social media is so toxic that, like, I just can't take anything they say seriously. You know what I mean? It's just, like, gotten to a point where it's, like, there's so many fights that are made but never signed on Twitter that I just never really believe the Twitter rants and the he said, she said, you don't sign the contract, sign the contract bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Jones and him, it's like they've been going back and forth so much. It's just like whether you've got him dancing to your tune or whether he's, you know, doing his thing or however anybody feels about it. It's just like somebody signed to fight somebody. Like, that's just kind of how I feel about the whole situation.
Adesanya wanted that shit. I think he had his chance to get it if he was really wanting it that early. It just...
Well, and I don't really...
Looks like he's waiting till Jones is vacating.
I'm so confused as to why Jones... I get the negotiation tactic of why he did that, but I just like, man, I wish he would have never relinquished that title. Like, that was so dumb. Like I don't like that at all. Like, it was so stupid. How could you strip him either way? He hadn't defended in, like, 4 months, and you strip him? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Hadn't been a year. Hadn't been a full...
Not even close,
like,
to a year.
Not even close.
I don't know what
would... It was negotiations broke down for a rematch between... Or not a rematch, a fight with him and Jan. But Jones wanted to fight Stipe in the meantime and become a double champ, and fucking Dana's like, no, can't do that anymore. Like, what?
We'll do that unless you're Dame Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. Like, what is going on?
I mean, Dana has a clear favorite in
Two. Yeah, without a doubt. But at the same time, can you blame him? Dana White, Daniel Cormier has never called him on the ninth hour and told him, hey, dude, I just failed a drug test. I can't fight tomorrow.
Yeah, but...
And he's never called Dana White and said, hey, Dana, got into a car accident. I'm in jail. I can't fight in June.
And that's why DC goes out.
And that's why DC is...
hypes up the UFC. Yeah,
exactly. DC on the back. DC was his right-hand man for that whole time when Jones was fucking up. But now when Jones got his shit together, DC just is ultimately number two. You know what I mean? So he's always going to ride for the UFC. That's why, like, people are always, like, writing these articles, like, man, DC is such a brand man for the UFC. No fucking duh, dude. Like, he's the ultimate right-hand man for Dana, like, in the fucking whole John Jones problem era. Every time somebody backed out of a fight, did you ever see him call Gustafson? No. You ever see him call fucking Anthony? Like, Rumble got his rightful rematches and all that shit, but, like, Rumble was never called on 8 days notice to, like, fight Ozdemir for a vacant title. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? There's just situations like that where Daniel Cormier was always... Or the same thing with the Gus fight. When Gus backed out the first time, he created a rivalry with the biggest fighter in their sport that had no rivalries at the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Very true.
He pushed the envelope and the UFC paid him handsomely for it. And in the end, he's always going to fucking rock with them for that shit. Like, even in an Ariel Helwani show, he, like... fucking calls Ariel out when he's shit-talking the UFC, and he's like, he's just a super company man. He's always going to be that way.
Well, wrapping it back around to Israel Adesanya, I just don't like the PR spin they take with John Jones. I don't get the coach jumping in the fray.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is MMA media, and I didn't hear the whole interview. I just read the articles. Yeah. So it could be some thing that was said in passing.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, MMA media...
It's always angles.
MMA media has a real fascination with the pro wrestling style.
Yeah.
Drama.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's purposeful or not, but, like, if you compare, like, a boxing website to an MMA website, I mean, boxing don't dive into the so-and-so said some shit on Twitter to somebody else and make entire goddamn articles, at least on the shit that I read. Every MMA site I read covers that shit.
Like, yeah.
They, to an excess. But... speaking of Israel Adesanya, kind of tying this into him, Alex Pereira had made his MMA debut, correct?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, he's a famed kickboxer.
Yeah.
He fought in Adesanya.
Legacy. Yeah, correct? He knocked Adesanya out.
That's what I was going to say. Cold. He is the dude that knocked Adesanya out in kickboxing.
Yeah.
And he made his debut in Glory.
Crazy
Legacy,
power.
Was it?
Yeah. Dude's got ridiculous power. Like, oh my God. Ridiculous power, dude.
That fight, that KO was...
The guy was out on the mat for 7 minutes.
Yeah, unconscious in the middle of the mat octagon or whatever they have over there in Legacy. Yeah. Seven straight minutes. Laying like a board. Not. He wasn't laying down like awake and looking around. He was sleeping.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah. Luckily, the guy's fine.
Yeah, he's good.
But, whew.
That was a statement.
Talk about making a statement, man.
Man.
You got to think if you've got to strike while the iron's hot if you're one of these bigger corporations or brands like Bellator, UFC, One. Because the thing is with Glory going under or whatever's going on there, it's not under, but it is like they're selling.
I don't know.
But now all the great kickboxers are kind of in this situation where they can't put on fights, and a lot of them are fighting MMA now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, I believe, 32 or 3 or something like that. So if you're the UFC or Bellator, if you think this guy has got the talent and the skills to make a splash, you got to sign him now.
Or his next fight, if he comes out and makes another statement like that.
I don't know if you can wait that long.
I would try and grab him now at 32.
I would grab him now,
His overall fight game experience.
He might even be older than that, snatched to be honest. Yeah.
You know,
but
I don't know what his grappling game is, if he has one. But
it's not like the first time they've ever done something like that. Everybody who switches over from sport to sport, if you're super high level, like a lot of guys just get signed into Bellator, the UFC, or something like that to start it out. You know what I mean? So,
it's exciting shit, man.
Fucking dude, that was scary knockout though. Holy shit!
You hear that guy from BKFC is now in a medically induced coma from Yeah, he got knocked out in BKFC 14.
Which one?
A couple weeks ago. He took a throat punch.
What?
And yeah, now he's been in a coma for 2 fucking weeks.
That's terrible. That's bad publicity for them, honestly.
Yeah, that was a bad look. It was just, it was an accidental thing, but
yeah. Well, I mean, it's fighting. Fighting's fighting.
His, I guess his trachea was hemorrhaging or something.
Jesus
crazy
Christ.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. So
I guess there's no more throat punching in BKFC.
No, you're not supposed to anyways.
Yeah.
But
fuck.
Because your hands are smaller.
Yeah, it's nothing you can do.
I mean,
you're bobbing and weaving.
I'm surprised something like a throat punch hasn't really happened in the UFC yet.
That I'm sure it has.
It just hasn't caused damage like that.
Yeah.
Mm, speedy recovery there.
Hopefully shit.
But yeah, he made an amazing debut, and I'm excited to see what happens with Alex.
Yep. Well, I think that about wraps up our show today.
Think so. If you're new to the show, you can catch us on wherever you get your podcast from Spotify to Apple Podcasts to WBUZ95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app. All that information is in one handy location for you.
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, buy a sweater. You know, winter's coming, so get your shit. Support the podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Later.